where we're breaking God's word open in the Psalms, in this soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which is available on EWTNPodcastCentral.com, on the EWTN app, which I just saw. I just got an update for the EWTN app today. It says all the content is now free. So now there's no excuse not to download and listen on the EWTN app. And the guys from Australia have done that. They've also, some of them are also following on Spotify or, you know, Apple, you know, Tunes or whatever. You know, whatever your favorite podcast is, download the Soulful Psalms. All right. Well, today we're going to be in book four of the Psalms, Psalms 90 to 106. And particularly, we're going to look at Psalm 94. All right, Psalm 94. Now, in most of the books in this, this is the shortest book of the five books of the Psalms. And this one, most of these Psalms don't have attribution. So they don't have prescripts. We don't know who wrote these Psalms here. And 94 is one of them. Now, 94 is pretty long. So we're going to only do probably the first, probably eight verses or so of Psalm 94. Now, this one starts off with a bang, okay? It starts off in verse 1, Psalm 94. O Lord, avenging God, shine forth. Judge of the earth, arise. Give the proud what they deserve. All right, so you can probably figure out what's going on right now in this psalm, right? So there's some, obviously some clear injustice that's been done, and they're evoking God and his providence to right the wrong, right? To intervene in their situation. Now, of course, they're using words like avenging God, like God of vengeance. And this is plays into some of the stereotype that people say about the angry, spiteful, hateful God of the Old Testament, who's always killing people and things like that. And so, you know, this psalm doesn't necessarily help that stereotype. Okay. But again, you have to remember here, they're using human language that they're ascribing to God. Now, we know that God is love, complete and perfect love. But as human beings trying to, trying to describe the situation, how God is interacting with them, sometimes we use human language that we put on God. Not that God has revealed to us, but that we put on God, right? To kind of human attributes, human emotions to God, particularly when we're going through a difficult situation, which is exactly what's happening here. So, Lord, we're going through something. There's injustice that's happening to us right now, and Lord, we need you to intervene, but not as the kind, loving God, but we need you to come in and do some vengeance here. Okay, again, human language being applied to God. Give the proud what they deserve, right? Again, we even see that in our own lives today. When someone has done a severe injustice, what's the first thing that we want to do? We want to see justice be done. You know, Lord, you know, hit them with lightning or strike them down. I mean, that's just a normal human reaction, right? It continues in verse 3. How long, O Lord, shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? They bluster with arrogant speech. Those who do evil boast to each other. See, so now we're getting more of the situation that's happening here. So the wicked, they seem to be triumphing. Oh, my goodness. We see all of that in our culture today. You know how people who don't support a cultural life, who don't support religious freedom, who don't support an economic system that provides fair wages for everyone, that puts an unfair burden on people and on their lives, you know, these incredible injustices that are being done, people being killed, you know, for their faith or persecuted somehow simply because they're standing up for Jesus, right? That's happening today. And again, look at the language. We can say that about what's happening today. They bluster with arrogant speech. They boast to each other, right? Because why? They think they're God. They think they're God. They think their way of thinking, their way of, you know, we don't need any God, you know, some pretend God, you know, we're God. We decide, you know, we're imposing our will on this culture and society, right? Socialism, communism. That's their play. Continues in verse 5. They crush your people Lord, and they humble your inheritance. Now, there's not just talk about what's happening, what's the effect on your people, Lord, right? So this next set of verses, what's the effect of this on your people, Lord, on us who are enduring this? They crush your people, Lord, right? So if like the weight of it just seems so heavy, the weight of what's happening seems to be just dropping on us. And they humble your inheritance, right? Like humble, humiliate. They're humiliating us, Lord. They kill the widow and the stranger, right? Abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide. And they murder the fatherless child. Wow, right? Strong language. But again, you can easily see the parallels from when Psalm 94 was written to what's happening in our culture and in our world today, right? People who think only of themselves, they worship the trinity of me, myself, and I, where their focus is turned inward, what's best for me, instead of outward, what's best for the other. And that, especially on this Feast of St. Vincent de Paul, I mean, he exemplified that with his work with the poor. It's all about them. In fact, in vigils today, in the second reading, which today being an obligatory memorial, the second reading comes from St. Vincent de Paul. So it was from a letter that he wrote. And he was telling folks like, look, don't be disturbed if during your prayer, you have to stop to help someone in need. Like you're in the middle of your prayer and a poor person comes and needs to be served. And sometimes we get upset like, oh, I got to stop my prayer to help this person. So St. Vincent de Paul said, no, this is part of your prayer, right? To help this person that's in need. That's part of your prayer. What a beautiful way to look at it. Again, it's about what's best for the other. And sadly, we don't see much of that in our culture, in our secular culture today. It's all about vitriol and anger. We see this especially in the political realm right now. No one wants to talk about issues. We want to talk about anger and vitriol and name calling and putting each other down. That's not what we should be doing. But again, here in the Psalm, this is what's happening, right? They're caught in the midst of this. And it continues in verse 7. And they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed. So now they're saying, look what the people are saying about us, Lord. They're saying that, the Lord doesn't care about you guys. The God of Jacob pays no heed. We are the ones that are calling the shots here. Forget your God. We're the one calling the shots. But now the psalmist responds here. Mark this, you senseless people. Fools, when will you understand? Right? He said, yeah, okay, you're living in your arrogance right now. You may have to appear to have the upper hand right now. But you know what? We serve a God that is faithful. We serve a God that puts us in the crucible, that tries us by fire. Then we come out purified on the other side, right? So we know something that you don't know. You know, just because God is not interacting right now, God is not responding in the way that you see or that you could understand in a very visible way, and because you don't see that, you call us senseless. You call us fools. Because we believe in God, because we stand up for the Lord. And you look, you can't tell me that's exactly what's happening in our culture today.
Yeah, and I think the thing to also remind ourselves, because I know there's a lot of us that are waiting on God's voice. And, you know, as they say, you know, the teacher is the quietest during the test. So, you know, the lessons have been laid down. Now it's time for you to show what you've learned. So, and again, remembering to do the last thing he told you until he gives you further instruction. Then that way, while the world wants to mock and ridicule what we're doing or waiting on, or even keeping it to ourselves, I don't know if you do this, when you get a big idea, hold on to it until it births, right? Because then when people go, how did that happen? Because it's out of nowhere for them. But for you, you saw the journey. And then along the way, you don't have those, you know, negative Nellies telling you, well, God's not going to do that for you. What do you, you know, I mean, it's just don't let them steal your joy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, but I get it, though. I mean, it's frustrating. That's what it is. It's frustrating. Yeah. I mean, you could almost hear the frustration in the voice of the psalmist here.
Yeah.
You know, because they're frustrated with the situation and they know that God is good. They know that God is going to intervene. They know that God's going to come to their rescue. But there's almost a sense of impatience. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, we want you to act now.
Yeah.
Right. We want you to seek vengeance now on these people. Show them your power, Lord. In fact, that's kind of what they wanted with Jesus.
Yeah.
Show us your earthly power, Lord, like overthrow the Romans so that we can have, you know, so Israel can have. It's not about that. It's not about secular power, secular understanding. It's all about drawing us into a deeper, intimate relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's what this culture doesn't understand.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.